The idiom "food for thought" has been used since about the 1800s. Food for thought means something that is worth thinking about, something that's worth mulling over, or something that we should be pondering in order to obtain a full understanding of the idea. Today we will look closer at God's food laws and ponder over some unanswered questions, and hopefully this will give you an idea of how to obey these commands and also give you some food for thought. So the title is Food for Thought. First of all, we in the Church of God obey these laws as we know our Creator knows what's good for us. He created us. He made us. He knows what we should be eating and what we should not be eating. He did all of this for our benefit. We know that God reintroduced these food laws to the Israelites in the wilderness through Moses in Leviticus chapter 11. And Moses felt it was very important to inform the new generation that was going to be going into the promised land. So he retold these laws to the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 14 before they crossed over into the land. So I say reintroduced them because the fact that is well known, they were well known in Noah's day, these food laws. Because when God told him to take seven pairs, male and female, of animals and one pair of unclean animals onto the ark, he didn't say, what's a clean animal? He knew exactly what was going on. So based on that, I want to believe that even Adam and Abel and, you know, Shem also knew about these laws as well. We also know that the disciples of Jesus Christ continued to keep these laws, as Peter claims that he had never ate any of these unclean animals before when he saw them in this vision he had. And he didn't start eating them afterwards either. In fact, he explains what this vision was, that God was telling him that all men are not unclean, that they are all clean, that they can receive the word of God. It can go out to the Gentiles. And that was what this message was. It wasn't telling him that he can eat these foods now. So we understand that. So we understand what the law is. So I'm not going to sit here and try to prove to you that we're still supposed to be doing it, because there's plenty of proof that's been done before. I want to look a little bit more into some more detail. But first of all, let's look at the food law itself in Leviticus chapter 11. Now, Leviticus chapter 11, starting in verse 1, says, "Now the Eternal spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying to them, speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the animals which you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth. Among the animals which divide the hoof, having hoofs and chewing the cud, you may eat. Nevertheless, you shall not eat among those that chew the cud or those that have cloven hooves, the camel, because it chews the cud, but it does not have the cloven hooves. It's unclean to you. The rock hayrix, which is a badger, because it chews the cud, but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. The hare, because it chews the cud, but does not have the cloven hooves, again, it's unclean. The swine, though it divides the hoof, having cloven hooves, yet it does not chew the cud. It is unclean to you. Their flesh you shall not eat. Their carcasses you shall not touch. They are unclean to you. These you may eat that are in the water, whatever in the water has fins and scales, whether in the seas or in the rivers, that you may eat. But in all the seas and rivers that do not have fins and scales, all that move in the water or any living thing which is in the water, they are an abomination to you." Skip down to verse 13. "And these you shall regard as an abomination among the birds. They shall not be eaten, they are an abomination. The eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, the kite, the falcon after its kind, every raven after its kind, the ostrich, the short-haired owl, the seagull, the hawk after its kind, the little owl, the fisher owl, the screech owl, the white owl, the jackdaw, and the carrion vulture, the stork, the heron after its kind, the hoopoe, and the bat. All flying insects that creep on all fours shall be an abomination to you. Yet these you may eat of every flying insect that creeps on all fours, those which have jointed legs above their feet which leap on the earth. These you may eat, the locust after its kind, the destroying locust after its kind, the cricket after its kind, and the grasshopper after its kind. But all other flying insects which have 4 feet shall be an abomination to you. So, God sets his people, his chosen ones, apart from others. We're to be holy and clean. So he separates us from those animals that he says are unholy and unclean. We are to be a holy people. These commands involve eating the flesh, the meat of these animals. It also includes not eating the fat and the blood of these animals, which includes even the clean animals as well, as stated by God in other scriptures. Now, Leviticus chapter 3, verse 17, it says, it mentions that. Now, the fat that they're referring to of not eating is the fat that's around the different organs and on the flesh. It's the heavy flat fat that's there. It's not the fat that's marbleized within the meat. That's a totally different fat that we're talking about there. So it's just the really fatty parts of the meat. That's the meat that you're not supposed to eat. Now, I gave everybody one of these handouts here. You can find this on the Beyond Today website. If you look up in the booklet section and you're looking up the actual booklet on clean and unclean animals, this is a nice printout that they have there. So anybody else that's online and needs to see this, there's a nice copy of it on there. So let's just look at it. It comes in a PDF file. So let's just look at some of the animals that are on here really quick. Now, as far as the clean flying animals, so you can see that they got the chicken, the dove, the duck, the goose, the grouse, and you can see all the ones over on the other side. Now, all the unclean ones, they're the ones that eat flesh, or they're scavengers and they eat other birds and stuff like that. And most of all the songbirds and the birds that eat seed and kind of like vegetarian birds, I guess. They're the ones that are clean. Now, one thing that's really interesting is in the King James Version of the Bible, it says that a swan is unclean. And that's in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 18. The King James Version says, "And the swan and the pelican and the gear eagle." And it also mentions that also in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 16, in the King James Version. Now, the New King James Version and many other modern versions, they correctly translate the word here as referring to some kind of an owl. In the New King James Version, they call it the white owl. The white owl, the jackdaw, and the carrion vulture, as I read. Now, the God's Word translation says it's a barn owl. And the Jewish Publication Society, they say it's the horned owl. So they all realized that it was an owl and not a swan, okay, that we're talking about here. So that's why swan is on the list. Now, it's interesting, the edible insects, how about that? Now, I want to read something from the United Church of God's commentary. It says, certain kinds of flying insects with jointed legs above the feet for leaping may be eaten. Locust, grasshopper, crickets. Okay, it is believed that In ancient Middle East, these insects were ground into a fine meal and baked into cakes, kind of perhaps explaining the later description of John the Baptist eating locusts with honey in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 4. They made them into like a cakes with honey, toasted honey. So this would also include the katydid. There's over like 600 species maybe 600 or 6,000 species of katydids out there, but they're also kind of known as the bush cricket. They used to be called longhorn grasshoppers. They got their name because of the noise that they make, especially at night. You'll hear them. It sounds like they're saying, "Katie did, Katie didn't, Katie did, Katie didn't." And it repeats over and over. You hear them all night. And it's like that scratching, screeching noise that you hear. Very distinguished. Now, as far as the land animals, you can see that we got the antelope, the bison, the cattle, deer, love deer, the ox, the hart, the elk, sheep, including the lamb and the mutton. You know the difference between that, I'm sure. A lamb is
a year old,
and a mutton is a little bit older than that. So, also now they have a list of some of the clean fish and some of the unclean fish, which pretty much includes all the different shellfish. And these creatures are all bottom feeders, including the fish that are listed there, like the catfish. They're a bottom feeder. But I just want to make one thing clear. I had something completely wrong. I know that's hard to believe, but I've been telling everybody to stay away from the McDonald's fish fillet. It was a few years back that I heard that one of the fish in there was a mixture of different fish that they put together. Well, they put in a hokey, H-O-K-I, hokey fish in there. When I heard that, I thought, oh, that sounds like it's unclean. And people were talking like it was an unclean fish that they were throwing in there. So I stopped. You know, I don't go to fast food very often, only during the feast, it seems like, when it's a convenience. But I won't eat the fish fillet because of the hokey. Well, I was wrong. The hokey is a white fish that is often found in New Zealand and also in around southern Australia. In fact, it's one of the main staples for New Zealand. And it's also on the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans around South America as well. Now, the hokey is also known as a blue grenadier or a blue hake, H-A-K-E. It's also called the New Zealand whiptail or just plain whiptail or whiptail hake. It is a clean fish. It does have both fins and scales. So I just wanted to correct that because I probably said that to a few people before. I guess I was a little bit wrong with that. Now, one other thing I wanted to bring out is in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 21, when it's going through the laws there, it says, "You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk." So I want to address that because of this command, the Orthodox Jews refrain from eating meat and dairy products together, as well as if they're going to cook these things, they cook them in separate pots and pans in separate locations, just so there's no cross-contamination. And they go according to this scripture here and kind of in a pharisaical way. Now, God says this again. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 26, it says, the first fruits of your land you shall bring to the house of the Eternal your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. And it's just, why is that right there? It looks like it has something to do with the harvest. Also in Exodus 23, verse 17, it says, three times in a year all your males shall appear before the Eternal God. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until morning. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Eternal your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Now here it is again, and it's talking about the three times of the year that we get together for the holy days and offering our gifts to the temple or our sacrifices. Again, it looks like it has something to do with reaping the harvest and bringing forth your offerings during the holy days. So why did God mention this three times? Three times. Adams Clark commentary says this passage has greatly perplexed commentators. And I looked at some of the other commentators and they're clueless. But Dr. Cudworth is supposed to have given its true meaning by quoting a comment of a Karaite Jew, which he met with on this passage. It was a custom of the ancient heathens when they had gathered all their fruits to take a kid, a baby goat, and boil it in the milk of its mother. And then in a magical way, they went around and sprinkled the milk onto the crops, the fields, the trees, the orchards, thinking that by doing this, they were going to have a more abundantly prosperous year the following year. So they did this in a ritual thing. This is what God didn't want the Israelites to do. Some commentators believe that this was actually a practice of the Canaanites that they were going in to conquer. That at the end of their harvest, they would ritually boil a young animal in its mother's milk and then sprinkle it on the gardens and trees, hoping that this would please their gods and give them a greater harvest the next year. God wanted the Israelites to rely on him for the harvest the next year, not to do some kind of a ritual like this. And so that's why this is why this was in there a couple times, and it's why it's related with the offering of the first fruits. And it has nothing to do with eating meat and dairy products together. You want some more proof? Okay. Abraham and Sarah, they prepared a meat and milk products together to serve to God, the pre-incarnate Christ, and the two angels that were with them. That's in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 8. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 8, I'll read it for you so you don't have to turn there, but it says, so he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set them before them, and he stood by under the tree and watched as they ate. The pre-incarnate Jesus Christ and the angels ate of this. God himself, while manifested in a physical form, ate milk and meat together. The Jews, however, will argue against eating meat and dairy products together on the basis that there might be a slim chance that the dairy product that you're eating may have come from the meat that you're eating. And, brethren, if we apply this to remotely to our own diets, we'd never be able to eat anything thinking that something's cross-contaminated. And that's what I want to kind of get into a little bit more. We would never eat anything in fear that some kind of a little molecule of one something from an unclean animal might have somehow gotten into our food. This is not what God has intended here. I want to discuss something that's clearly not stated in the scriptures, and at best is left up to the individual Christian to determine for themselves. There are many animal byproducts that are used in food production today. It's in medications, mineral supplements, and vitamins. Some of these are derived from unclean animals. So does this violate the biblical injunction against eating the flesh of the unclean animals? Now, some churches of God have placed medications drugs and supplements into a category of non-food, therefore saying that they are okay for use. I'm not saying that our church organization has said this, but there are some other offshoots from the old Worldwide Church of God that that go along with this. So I'm just giving that for your information. Actually, before synthetic insulin was developed, that usually came from cattle or swine that people use for their insulin shots. Another example is that calcium can be extracted from oyster shells, which is used in supplements. Now, there are other sources of calcium that you can get, but it's kind of, again, it's up to you to decide. Another key ingredient that is used in many natural and unnatural forms, which is used in cereal bars, ice cream, yogurt, certain dairy drinks, medicines, chocolate, marshmallows, among other things, is gelatin. Gelatin is a collection of peptides and proteins produced by partial hydrolysis of the collagen extracted from the skin, bones, and connective tissues of animals, such as the domestic cattle, chicken, pigs, and fish. It is often difficult to find out if the gelatin is from pork or if it's beef derived. There are some gelatin products available which are vegetarian and therefore kosher. Many supplements, medications, and vitamins use gelatin to bind the ingredients together or in the form of a gel capsule. A kid's favorite, Jell-O. Jell-O has gelatin, which is extracted from the skins of beef and pork. Now, some Orthodox Jewish rabbis have certified gelatin as kosher, based on the belief that during the manufacture of the gelatin, the composition of the original material undergoes a complete change or a metamorphosis. In other words, gelatin is not considered a meat under Orthodox dietary laws because the collagen has been broken down and turned into a completely different substance. Now, this is according to Rabbi Yehuda Gershuni and Rabbi David Telsner in their book that they wrote, The Halachic Practice of our Kushrut Certification of Atlantic Gelatin and the General Foods Production Containing This Gelatin. Long title. Also, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration does not consider gelatin a meat product. Again, it's something that you're going to have to determine for yourself. There are some Christians in our faith that believe that it's okay, that it's not, and there's some that will refrain from it completely. Again, that's something that's personal between you and God. I'm not going to sit here and tell you one thing is right and the other thing is wrong. That is basically up to you what you think. Now, there's a website that's out there. It's called the Israel of God Research Committee. The Israel of God Research Committee. The website itself is, it's all one word, theisraelofgodrc.com. On the website, they list many products which they claim are unclean because of the use of unclean animal byproducts and food additives. Some include food colorants like gathanta. I'm going to have fun with this word here, and I practice it too. Canthaxanthin, yeah, something like that. It's a red-orange colorant. It first was found in edible mushrooms, but it also can be extracted from sea trout, algae, salmon, brine shrimp, and several species of flamingo. But mostly now it's synthetic, produced from acetone. Carmine is a crimson pigment that is derived from the cochineal. It's a scale insect. It's more like a parasite that's on cactus. And they use these mostly to dye textiles, drugs, cosmetic, but it also can be used to make your red applesauce and your red grapefruit juices, spices, and some other baked goods. It is a pigment derived from an unclean animal, the same as eating the flesh. That's the question you kind of have to answer for yourself. Now this site, it lists about 60 different substances that are derived from animals that are both clean and unclean. The problem is the product is never going to tell you exactly where it came from, where it was derived from. Because there's a lot of synthetics out there and there's other sources, but they're never going to tell you, which is kind of difficult. But they go in and they do some research and they kind of find out what is what and where it's at. The problem is that if the product is never going to say this, are you concerned about it? That's the question you got to ask yourself again. The site is also very extremely strict in that they object to these other rabbis that declare Jell-O as being kosher. They don't acknowledge that the swan is clean bird either, because they base everything on the King James Version period. King James Version says swan. They don't want to get into that's a mistranslation. So therefore, they say swan, duck, and geese are unclean, which is completely wrong, because I don't see the ducks going around and eating other animals and and stuff like that, but they are a clean animal, but they go very strict. So I just want to warn you to go look at this site. It's very, very strict. It's almost like this was a website done by the Pharisees themselves. That's how strict that they got, that they want to make sure there's no issues or problems there. If you look at this site, you may begin to believe that there's no food out there in the stores, and especially restaurants, that you can even eat. Unless you decide to become a farmer and start growing your own crops, making your own grain and making your own bread, you're dealing with what the manufacturers are doing out there. Again, they view everything that is derived from an unclean animal as raw. And the scripture is those be clear that it's talking about meat and flesh, not so much these byproducts, but that's something that you again have to determine for yourself, the meat and the flesh, not the different chemicals that can come from these things. Again, you have to decide in good conscience. The site is good, however, for meat products, as many of the beef and turkey hot dogs and sausages are actually encased in pork casings. These pork casings usually come from the collagen from the intestines of a pig. Also listed are meats that are processed on the same machines as pork, causing some kind of a cross-contamination. So it's good for that. Armor products and Eckrich both process their meats on the same machines. And the Eckrich turkey sausage, they're in pork casings, in case you wanted to know. Now, the Swift Premium Brown and Served Turkey and Beef Sausages is clean. I had some this morning. Now, this site also covers baked goods, condiments, seasonings, beverages, cakes, cookies, crackers, candy, chips, cereal, dairy products, pasta, sauces, soups, as well as meats and frozen entrees. There's a section that's on vitamins, medicines, fast food restaurants. You know, they try to say that ibuprofen, like the Motrin, it's got some kind of unclean substance in it. And I looked up the ingredients and I can't find it on the different websites and stuff, because I take ibuprofen and I didn't see none of the things on there that they were saying, but there's other things on there. They also talk about these fast food restaurants. Close your ears. I'm gonna reveal one here that you might be upset about. You know, Olive Garden, they use pork in their sauces. And so does a lot of many other Italian style restaurants. I know that a lot of times I like going to a Mexican restaurant, and I'm always asking the waiter, I want to know how they make their beans, if they make them in lard or not. And a lot of them don't, but there's some that are traditional and will do it in lard. Lard is fat from a pig, and it's something you should stay away from. It is fat. With some of the store bought products, they also mentioned like the sauces, like Prego. They use beef and or pork enzymes. Enzymes. Enzymes are proteins that are found in every living organism, be it an animal, vegetable, or microbial, which acts as a catalyst to bring about a specific biochemical reaction. Kind of like how yeast will make the dough rise. It's a reaction. It's an enzyme. Now, the porcine enzymes are extracted from the carcasses of pigs through the process of requiring liquefaction, boiling, and evaporation of certain piggy fluids, similar to the gelatin extraction process that they do. So once again, you must decide, is this the same as eating the flesh of an unclean animal or not? Indeed, God's dietary laws do have many health benefits, and no doubt God intended them. But their primary purpose is stated as being for holiness. For holiness. By creating such dietary laws, God added dimension to daily living and constantly reminded the Israelites that they were to continue to be a separate from the people of the world. They were supposed to be separate from the other people of the world, and laws created a significant frustration for any fellowship with a non-Israelite. Does God want such a distinct separation between Christians and the world? Yes. Notice what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 16 through 18. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell with them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Each Christian has to make the decision as to whether to partake of these products as described. We know from Mark chapter 7, verse 15, that nothing that enters a man from the outside can defile him. But the prohibition of consumption of unclean flesh is still clearly valid. And we are to admonish and honor or glorify God in our bodies and do not defile the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. We also must remember what Paul tells us about the law of liberty and the law of love in Romans chapter 14. Later you can read the whole chapter, Romans 14, if you want to, as an individual Bible study, but it's really interesting. I'm going to hit some highlights here. Romans chapter 14 and verse 1. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but do not dispute over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Verse 14. I know, and I am convinced by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. clean. So if you think that gelatin is unclean, then it is unclean to you. If you don't think so, then it is not. It is a choice that you have to make. In verse 20, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Based on this, we must never eat or drink or do anything that violates our conscience. If we feel like we are going to be compromising the Word of God,